Let's continue in our study today on this series. As we are going to study, we are going to get into the passive obedience of Christ. Passive obedience of Christ. What do you mean by passive obedience of Christ? What's the word passive mean? The word passive means suffering without resistance. If you do suffer in this world, we want to avoid that suffering, right? We want to resist the suffering. But here, passive obedience means Christ suffering without resistance. And now, the passive obedience of Christ means, why did Christ suffer? Why did Christ suffer anyway? If you remember, why did Christ have to suffer? If you remember, I asked this question way before. Why did God have to become a man? Why is it that incarnation necessary? You remember that. And in the Old Testament, we see how God appeared, right? How God appeared to Abraham and all the Old Testament saints. God appeared, he came as a man. Remember how the Lord ate with Abraham? How? He could have come like that. And why did God have to suffer? Why did God have to become a man and suffer? And I told you, God, in his nature, he cannot suffer, because God is what? Above suffering. That's why God has to become a man and to suffer as a man, go through the pain as a man. Reason is, you know that God is holy. He is holy. Why is he suffering? Why is it that Christ has to suffer? Reason is that Christ, in his passive obedience, he had to pay the penalty for his penalty for our sin by his suffering and his death. Okay? He had to pay the penalty of sin. Why? Because God is holy. He is infinitely holy, and sin against God is coming against its authority. When God's word says, no, this is what you should do, and when we break the law, what we do is we violate the law of God. We are coming against the very authority of God's word, and we are saying no to God and doing our thing. That is breaking the law of God. We have violated the law of God. Now, if we have violated the law of God, we are guilty before God, right? That's why Romans chapter 3 verse 19, it says every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Now, if you are guilty before God and if you have violated God's law, question is God going to let it go? Is he going to pass it? Is God going to just wink at your sins and say, that's all right, I'm very loving? No. The Bible says very clearly that God will not compromise with sin. He will not allow the sins to go unpunished. That is that thing. You know the scriptures, Nahum 1:3. It says here, the Lord, that is after Micah, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. Not acquit the wicked. That will means he will not allow the sins to go unpunished. Now, sins have to be punished. That's why Christ came. Christ paid the penalty of sin by his suffering and his death. This suffering was judicially laid upon Christ, and they were penal suffering. What do you mean by penal suffering? Penal, the word penal comes from the Latin word P-O-E-N-A, pena. It means pain. You heard in our judicial system, penal code, that means the code of laws that is relating to the punishment of the crime. Even in our system, if you violate the code of laws in this country, you are punished, isn't it? You go through some pain in prison. You go through some pain in giving back for what you have done, right? According to the nature of the punished crime you have committed. In the same way, Christ has to go through a penal. It was a penal suffering. That means whoever who says, no, Christ didn't go through any penal suffering. No, it's not. That's a lie. You know, he didn't have any pain. Of course, he was human. He had pain. And we are going to go through all that later. Okay? But today I'm not going to go through all that. What I'm going to do today is just to show the day of Christ's suffering. That means within 24 hours, we are going to show at a glance his day that he went to the cross. Within 24 hours, you will take every hour and see his suffering. Then next week onwards, we will go more in depth to see his suffering. Alright? Now, if you see, you know, a lot of people say, how can God send Christ? How can he suffer? Of course, because we saw that God is holy. We have violated his commandments. And if somebody has violated his commandments, that person, if God is a good judge, he's a just God, he will punish the sinners. And Christ came in our behalf. He was our representative. And he came on our behalf as a second Adam. First Adam couldn't fulfill, so he had to take the pain on our behalf and suffer on the cross. Revelation chapter 15, verse 3. Revelation 15:3 says, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. You know, if you remember this, if you go a few scriptures before, here we see God, God is pouring out his wrath. His wrath has come in full force, but yet it says in the scriptures, great and marvelous are your works. Here the wrath of God is coming in full force, yet the scripture says those are great and marvelous works. Huh? Today we hear God is so loving, he will not allow anybody to punish. That's not what the word says. His wrath is coming. The word says his great marvelous are his works. Because why? Read the next one. Just true and are your ways, O King of sin, who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name, for you alone are holy. For all nations will come and worship you, for your judgments have been what? Manifested. God is a holy God. He's not going to tolerate sin. He's going to manifest his judgments. And God is an awesome God. That's the God of the Bible. That's the God that we worship. We are saved by the wrath of God. Understand? That's the gospel. The good news is the wrath of God, we are saved. And if you're in Christ Jesus, if you're a believer, you don't have to go through the punishment of God. Because Christ took that punishment. Now, remember, Christ Jesus, he came on a mission to give his life as a sacrifice. Remember, even when he had his birth, King Herod tried to kill him in his infancy. Remember? The Jews tried to kill him by stoning many times and tried to throw him down a hill. But they couldn't. Why? Because it was not his time. That's why Jesus said in John 10:18, "No man can take it from me, but I lay it down myself." John 10:18. "I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received from my Father." Now, in Exodus chapter 12, where we saw the scriptures, if you remember, the Passover was inaugurated. Exodus chapter 12. If you turn with me to Exodus 12. How God told the Israelites, God told Moses that, if you see chapter 12, I'm not going to read it because we read it before, and very clearly it says that how God told the Israelites to take a lamb without blemish, right, and to kill it in twilight in the evening. Then to put the blood where? On the doorpost, right? And roast it and eat it when the Lord is going to pass over, right? And if he sees the blood on the doorpost, the firstborn children or anything firstborn will be killed, right? Not be killed. Here comes the wrath of God, right? It's the wrath of God that is going to come. But if God sees the blood on the doorpost, God will pass over without the wrath falling. You understand? Now, we know Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that Christ is the Passover lamb. All these things in the Old Testament are shadows, and it is pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, 1 Corinthians 5:7, Apostle Paul says here, "Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ of a Passover was sacrificed for us." Remember how John, when he saw Jesus coming, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." Now, let us begin how Jesus, on his day that he was going to the cross, and he started around 6 in the evening, according to the Jewish times, you know, Genesis chapter 1 verse 5, "And God called the light day, and darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day." So according to the Jewish time, comes the evening, then morning. And here around 6 o'clock in the evening, Christ with his disciples celebrated the Passover meal. That's around 6 in the morning. Okay, and they ate the Passover until about 8 in the night. Now I want to see this. I want you to get a good clear picture. I want you to be in this time, so you will really see the pain and the agony that Christ went this 24-hour time. Okay, so it started around 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock. Christ was with his disciples. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 22:15, we are going to go through a lot of scriptures today, so gotta be quick. Luke 22:15. "Then he said to them, with fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." You see that word suffer? Means what? What's the meaning of suffer? It means suffer. It means pain. Means a penal punishment. You understand? Alright. Now, then at about 8 o'clock in the evening, he washed his disciples' feet. Remember that? That's around 8 after the, this is Passover meal, around 6 to 8, then around 8 o'clock in the evening, he washed his disciples' feet, then leaning on the table, he told about Judas, who is going to betray him. Then he continued with the disciples till about 9 in the evening, in the night time. If you turn with me to John chapter 13 now. In starting from verse 1, remember the Passover, we were talking about that. That was the beginning here, right? Christ is the Passover lamb. And now before the feast of the Passover, that's what John 1:13 says, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, you see the end of the supper now, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father has given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself, and that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. Now remember, this is the last day on this earth before the resurrection, that before going to the cross, he did it. So this is in the night time. You understand? Before the Passover. Now, at about 9 in the evening, which is called the second watch, according to the Jewish time, Judas the traitor went out from his disciples. When the traitor is gone, Christ comforts his disciples in John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17. Christ comforts the disciples. Gives some good comforting edification here. Now turn with me to John chapter 13, back again, and see verse 21. It says here, when Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in the spirit and testified and said, most assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me. And of course in verse 30, you know the whole story there, and verse 30 says, having received the piece of bread, that is Judas Iscariot, he then went out immediately, and it was what? Night. Right? They say it was night. So this is basically this is around 9 o'clock. Okay? So he went to betray him. And then of course John 14, 15 and 16 and 17, Christ comforts the disciples and he prays for them. If you see John, of course, this was a shock for the disciples to see that there was the person who is going to betray is where? Within them. Right? It was a great shock. Now, how if you have some friends, if you are together with friends all the time, you eat with them, you fellowship with them, and you use the word, the Bible, and so forth like that, and you are being with Christ, and suddenly you know that one of your friends within your own group is a traitor. And Christ is going to expose that traitor. What emotionally, everybody is going to get into a shock, right? See John chapter 14, verse 1. This is the comforting part, where Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. See that? You believe in God, believe in also me. So you will see John 14, 15, 16 and 17, how he comforted the disciples. Especially how he prayed for the disciples. John 17 and so forth. You see that? You understand? I'm trying to put this in one 24-hour basis, so we will get a kind of a glimpse at it, okay? Now we see the night of his suffering from around 10 o'clock until 12 midnight, he goes over the brook Cedron or brook Kidron to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed earnestly with sweat and blood. Okay, soon after that he goes to brook Kidron, where there was a garden. And if you turn with me to John chapter 18 verse 1, Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples. This is after comforting the disciples. Where does he go? He go with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden. You know that garden? Garden of Gethsemane, which he and his disciples entered. This is the beginning of his suffering. And we are going to get into this next week more in depth. And if you turn with me to Luke chapter 22:14, when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, Luke chapter 22 verse 44. Sorry. Alright. Let's start from verse 39. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives. He was accustomed with his disciples also follow him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them from a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony. Meaning what? Pain. Right? In agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Of course, as I told you, as we go on with this penal sufferings on Christ, this is going to be a series that's going on. We will get it more in depth in this particular scripture. But today we are going to see just a glance. Then from 12 o'clock, until 3 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the morning, he was betrayed. This is where the soldiers came, brought him to Jerusalem, and took him to the house of Annas, who was one of the chief priests. Now if you turn with me to John chapter 18, 12, and it says here, then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. Remember, this is where Judas Iscariot is the one who led them, who betrayed him, who led them. He knew where Jesus was. Remember that? So they came and arrested him and bound him, and they led him to an Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now, then from 3 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock in the morning. Now, you can see Christ doesn't have any sleep here, right? You see that? From 6 o'clock in the evening until the whole night, he had no sleep. Now, from 3 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the morning, they took him from Annas to Caiaphas. This is where Peter denied him 3 times, and this is where the Jews condemned him. If you turn with me now to Matthew 26, I want to show you, because all the Gospels doesn't go... they give in different ways the theme, so I want to... give you the story in a 24-hour basis. What happened? So turn with me to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, 57. 26:57. And those who laid him, and those who had laid hold of Jesus, led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest. So from Annas, now they took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Of course, you know what happened on verse 28. But Peter also followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard. And he went and sat with the servants to see the end. And of course, there were eyewitnesses. And remember verse, Peter, you know, verse 69, you see Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and saying, "You are also with Jesus of Galilee." Verse 70, we see that he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." And when he had gone out, another girl saw him and said, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth," but again he denied. And then, of course, verse 20.